Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. A few months ago, I changed my routine. And instead of walking once in a while, I began a discipline of power walking every morning, my arms pumping with my 3-pound heavy hands. With this daily exercise, it feels like a small transformation is taking place. Among the blessings, more energy and more alertness. I walk in silence, except for a mantra to keep me anchored in the moment. Emerson once wrote a descriptive comment from God to us. If you do not understand my silence, you will never understand my words. You might argue that you have never experienced divine communication. You believe in God, but God talks to others, not you. Yet the language of God can be as a sudden inspiration or insight, wordless love, peace, a moment of beauty, a wordless gaze, lingering with a look at a sleeping child, the ability to wait in grace. Belief in God can be gradual or as sudden as the impact observing the power of a total eclipse of the sun. And so it happens that in my morning walks, I am more available to listen to God than when I'm running through the day. And I notice things more. I have noticed that one of the houses I walk past has begun a transformation in the front garden. Old grass and odd bushes have been removed, and the dirt has become a flat canvas. One day, I noticed a variety of rocks. Rocks had been placed on some of the dirt. Ah, I said, they have placed the rocks to begin an anchor for design. The next morning before my walk, I read some scripture, as is my custom, and I read today's gospel. On my walk, I got goosebumps when I noticed the biggest rock in that neighborhood garden. It seemed to have a strategic place, the obvious foundation upon which to build the rest of the garden. So in silent communication, God had spoken volumes to me. Jesus was going to build his church with someone he called a rock. I stared at the big rock, absorbing the gospel verse, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus the builder spoke those words to an imperfect, struggling disciple. Peter was big and brash with strengths and weaknesses like a rock. Rocks come in all shapes and sizes. Some are dense, some are porous. And Jesus chose to build up a people of God, a church, upon us rocks. The church is also described as the body of Christ. Paul emphasized this understanding of church as Christ's body in several letters. In today's letter to the Romans, he makes several points, the first of which might be confusing. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, when I power walk, I sure feel my physical body. It is sweaty and tired when I get back home. It feels like a living sacrifice indeed. But below the muscle ache, a process is going on, a type of transforming grace. Paul made the connection for us. The old-style religion of temple sacrifice, of offering animals and birds as worship, was changed in Jesus. The transformed life is one of witnessing with our whole selves, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice because our actions speak louder than our words. Yet Paul warned, "Do not be conformed in this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." This is a call to a new way of thinking, living in spiritual service. Each of us with amazing potential, each of us with different functions. So I celebrate our diversity at St. Francis and all the different ministries we serve. We are becoming available to transformation. But the value system of Jesus challenges us to not be conformed to the world's values. So Paul says, be transformed. Transformation is a result of God's gracious activity alongside our human initiative. We cannot literally do transforming grace to ourselves. There is a balance between God's grace and human initiative. I think going to the dentist is a marvelous metaphor for this. Last week after lunch, I used some dental floss. I gently released a tasty tidbit in the back of my mouth, and with it came out a crown. The crown had been secured several years ago after a root canal. Looking down at the crown, I knew I needed to go to the dentist, but wanted to put it off because I really was not in pain. I went the next day. Not to be dramatic, it sometimes feels that you are offering yourself as a living sacrifice when you go to the dentist. A transformation will usually take place. But you are not going to do the transforming to yourself. The dentist will. In the dentist chair, you cannot talk. Your entire role and responsibility is to sit, be available, and not talk. If you talk, the dentist cannot do the work of transformation. So, if you do all the talking, God has to wait for you to stop talking. God will then offer inspiration, guidance, and the way. Jesus is not only the way, the truth, and the life, as the Gospel of John describes. Jesus is the builder. Our role is to be available and let Jesus use us. This is how St. Teresa came to understand the way Jesus would build his church. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which to bless. We are to witness with our whole selves against injustice, advocating for anyone who is marginalized because of race, gender identity, sexual orientation, immigration status, homelessness, forms of poverty in body, mind, and spirit. Our challenge as a church is to embrace a radical welcome to all. All are invited into the family of God, the church, the body of Christ. Does the value system of Jesus make a difference in your life? It did for William E. Greenlee. In Texas, multimillionaire William E. Greenlee retired. He and his wife prayed for a way to be used by God. In his retirement, he wanted to discern a new opportunity to serve God's people. His prayer was answered through a local television report on homelessness. He had waited for quite a while for this clarity. But once he sensed the cause, Greenlee spent the next 5 years lobbying San Antonio officials and other wealthy Texans to create a new way of helping the homeless. In 2010, his efforts culminated in the $101 million Haven for Hope, a Texas-sized shelter, because it covers 23 acres, has dormitories for 850, detox and psychiatric observation units, a sobering center, and medical and dental clinics. But it also has a courtyard for the homeless people who are not ready for transformation. Their charter uses the word transformation because if someone is not ready for change, they can eat in the big hall, receive a mattress, then sleep outside in the courtyard. You see, Haven of Hope demands something of its residents. If you are ready to be transformed, then you become a part of the community. Then you leave the courtyard, which on some nights has over 700 sleeping outside, and you enter housing units and are offered the services of Haven for Hope. One can stay up to 2 years, but most are ready to believe in themselves and a way forward after 6 months. When they have begun to appreciate their dignity and abilities, they are helped with housing and employment outside of the community. Then they are ready to build the world with others, not isolated anymore. We are all members of this one church, the body of Christ. And we are rock solid in Jesus. Our parish family is built on that foundation. We are in this together. Believe a transformation is taking place as we walk together. An African proverb describes our unity. I am because we are. We are because I am. And as Scott Russell Sanders puts it, There are no backwaters. There is only one river, and we are all in it. Wave your arms, and the ripples will eventually reach me. Amen.